It is 9 o'clock. It is the first Friday of the month. And that means she's back. Sandra the Plant Lady. Good morning, Sandra.
Good morning. It's so wonderful to be back on the air here after having some replays this summer. So that kind of started with your health situation, but you're doing well, Bob?
I'm doing very well. Well, better than I deserve, I'm sure.
Nah, don't say that.
But no, everything is great, and I'm glad that the plant rant is back.
Me too. And actually, so June 2018 was my very first show, the first plant rant.
Oh.
And so we actually missed our three-year
anniversary.
And that was the first show that had been missed.
At all.
That whole entire time.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, of course, the last two, I'll take responsibilities for those folks. In July and August, I just kind of took the break. In August, I was gone, and I wasn't confident doing the program from a cell phone.
No, a cell phone is not real good.
Risky. But I hope that everyone enjoyed the replays. I know all three shows that played were just, I mean, not that all the shows aren't great, but those were just some really great interviews with really good guests. And I felt like there wasn't going to be a lot of, like, poorly timed announcements in those either.
No, probably really not. No.
Up, so. Well, yeah, good. So our anniversary. And now we're a quarter of the way through this year. The last time that we had the program in May, we had just celebrated at May Day.
Yeah.
And since then, we've had the summer solstice.
Yep.
And Lammas, and which is another one of the cross quarter holidays, like Beltane, and now the equinox is only a few weeks away.
Yeah, we can find one thing after another, though.
Well, it's working with the seasons.
Sure.
It's when we work with the seasons, like now, you know, with Lammas, that's the first harvest, and that's August 1st is when we celebrate that.
Okay.
And it's that starting to slow down. So
yeah,
we're going back, and then we're also going to start to, you know, plant the seeds for next year and to kind of get ready and think ahead. But it's kind of getting into that end of the season and getting ready to move into, you know, the slower time of year.
Yeah.
So when you work with the seasons, and as a horticulturist, I especially, you know, work with the seasons, because you are working with the growing times of the year. So to follow those holidays, you know, it's neat and it's significant. It's just working with nature and following those cycles. And it's a good reminder for us, because in our culture, people aren't necessarily always good at slowing down and resting and having
truth?
Introspection. And all those things are important, and they're part of the natural. If you follow a natural cycle, you may be more likely to take the time to things.
Follow the natural order of things. Life's easier that way.
Yes.
You know, and we all should be worried about taking life a little easy.
Yeah, and that was kind of part of what I wound up doing. You know, when July came and I decided to do another replay, I just thought, well, I'm just going to take a little sabbatical, which is kind of funny to take the summer off on a gardening show. But it worked for me after, I mean, when we had spoke in May, I had just gotten back recently from Madeline Island, which was really the first outing I had had since, you know,
forever.
March of 2020. And I had talked quite a bit on that program in May about the state parks and encouraging people to get out and get a state park pass. And I really hope people did that. So we had a pass that was on Ryan's car. And since then, I bought one for mine as well. And it's been great, because when you go somewhere, you can just, you know, if you see a state park, you can drive through. And even if you aren't going to spend a lot of time, then you're not paying a sticker to stop. And then I actually did get one from Minnesota, too. But I have to say, Those Minnesota State parks are busy. I kind of just drove by.
I see.
That was too many people. But Wisconsin has some great state parks. And I had mentioned back in May about Straight Lake, which is, you know, it's mm-hmm. the newest state park. It's right in our county. It's up by Luck.
Yep.
And since then, I've actually visited up there several times. But what was really interesting to me, which I did not know this before, which is important information people to have, for the camping there, it's all walk-in sites.
Whoa.
And they have, like, carts there and that, but it makes it really neat. And there's two lakes. There's Straight Lake and there's Rainbow Lake. It is like being in the Boundary Waters because there are no, it's not developed. There are no houses. It's completely surrounded. They are the sweetest little lakes. Now, granted, if you're going to go on them, again, you walk in. So there's no motorboats, which is great. It's just so peaceful. And I have not camped there, but did check out the campsites and have spent some time at the lakes and did a little hiking. And it's just
so I presume the campsites are all rustic campsites, no electricity, any of that sort of thing?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yep, and there's a couple, you know, some pit toilets and that. But,
oh, sure.
But, you know, it keeps it with, especially so many people have started camping now that so many places are booked. I mean, even looking at, like, Perot State Park down in Trempealeau, north of La Crosse, boy, weekends, they're booked, and they've
got
a lot of sites.
Yep.
Although I have to say, so Perot is another one of the places, and I did go camp there. I checked it out. Anthony and I went down to what's called Bryce Prairie, which is on Lake Onalaska, so it's considered Alaska, but there is the prairie is still there. There's a really great, the visitor center sadly was closed, but when that opens, I would recommend folks to check that out. And there was a great prairie that you could walk right across the street from where we were staying. But on the way down, we had drove through Perot State Park. I always kind of like to see, like, kind of get a feel for what campsite
sure.
would be good. And so then I did go back and camped down there. And, man, that campground, they do have, I don't know, let me look. I have my map here. They may have some electric sites.
Sure,
and they do
probably.
Have actual showers and running water and all of that for folks. But I tell you, I don't think there was a bad site in that place. They
no
were all
kidding.
Heavily wooded, very private, which is what I like.
Sure.
I go camping. And then I'm seeing my map here. There are some electric sites at that, at Perot State Park.
Sure.
So it was just great, you know, after talking about it, I put my money where my mouth is and got my own pass on my car. And then on the way, too, when I went to Perot the second time, there's Merrick State Park along the way. Well, I had my park pass, so I could just
drive through,
pull on in. And then when I went up north, and I went to northern Minnesota, which is when I got inspired to get the Minnesota pass. But, you know, then I was able to stop and see the waterfalls on the way up do those things. So it's been a really good summer. I finally, you know, I did get some camping in a couple different times. And
taking time to do it is the hard part.
Well, but I made the time.
That's it.
Decided that was important. And, that you know, and speaking of, so I guess I'm going to kind of segue here. But so we had a really dry summer.
Mm-hmm.
And going up to northern Minnesota, and I pulled into Gooseberry, but there was way too many cars. I was like, no way. So, but like up in Beaver Bay, man, the water there is just like a trickle.
Really?
It's not even going into the lake. At the bottom, it's just kind of pooled. And, you know, the rocks are built up on the shore, and it's not even draining in.
Wow.
It's sad. And
it's
then when
very
I was
dry.
Up there, there was, I was in the Sawtooth Mountains, and there was a fire ban because of, you know, it was so dry. And then there were fires in Isabella, which isn't, you know, too far from there. And so camping without a campfire was interesting, and, you know, you have to rethink, like, how you're going to do meals and things like that. Yep. I brought a candle with so I could have my campfire candle or whatever. but boy, you know, we thought it was dry here. It was bad
Very dry there.
I mean,
and some of the fires they had up in Minnesota were, I mean, we had smoke here from those fires for quite a while.
Yeah, there was some really hazy days. And, you know, it was interesting when I was up there because I didn't notice it being smokier. I couldn't really smell anything. Where here one day, I mean, man, you walk out the house and you could smell it. So.
Yeah. Oh,
but, yeah, so the drought. So as far as gardening goes for this summer, wow, lots and lots of watering.
Yeah. Yep.
And anybody who let their lawn get too short, I'm sorry to you, because although the thing with grass is it'll go dormant and it'll come back. We just kept ours a little longer. And then now with the rain, I mowed it twice last week and probably could have mowed it a third time.
Yeah, well, our little postage stamp size lawn here at the station burned down to nothing but a few weeds. And in a couple of days after the first rain we had there, man, it's back again, but it's all quack grass and weeds. Whatever grass there was against the building, and it did come back, but the rest of it's kind of just dead. I'm going to have to do something with it.
Well, and fall, you know, right before winter is a great time to do seeding. I think that's one of the best times to plant grass because you don't have to do anything. You put it down, winter does its thing, it gets that seed kind of worked in, and then the snow melts and it gets watered and you don't have to do anything. Versus, you know, you've done seeding in the summer before.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of watering.
Yeah,
multiple times a day sometimes. If you're
it,
right.
It gets to be expensive.
If you wait until the end of the season here and do some fall seeding, you might be really surprised. And I would go, I'm not sure what Dragonfly has for like seed mixes, but I know like Abrahamson's, you're going to get a good quality seed mix. You can buy it bulk, so you can buy as much or as little.
Sure. Well, the biggest question for here is there's patches, I mean literal patches of some sort of a weed. I don't know what it is. It's a big leaf weed. And how do I get rid of that, or do I dig it up and then seed, or how do I do that?
Yeah, and it might be plantain or something. I would have to look. I guess it just depends upon how much of a purist you are. I don't.
I'm not a purist, but I really don't.
Just seed it. Otherwise, you're going to have to go out there and dig it. And like if it's plantain, they have a pretty deep root, but you can certainly get it out of there, hand pull it, or get a trowel.
Probably
or
better
shovel.
Off
I
to
like
just leave it alone and seed, right?
Shovel. Yeah. Can do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens.
I'll be coming into Amory soon. I didn't. I can always take a look.
Gwen and I were debating this morning. Do you suppose she'll come in today, or will she call?
I thought I was going to, and then I didn't need to go to Amory, and I thought, you know.
In other words, you like to make a trip for two things.
Yes, I
yeah,
do.
I
yes,
get
I
it.
Do. So. But, and then this has been working, so this is, you know, this is okay. So
oh,
I've
sure.
lost my notes. Let's see, where am I at here? So, and then it was interesting with it being so dry as far as weeding goes, too, because the shallow-rooted things were really easy to come out. Things just kind of popped. Some of the little grasses, some of the little, like, sorrels and things like that, they just... But, boy, the deep-rooted things, when it was dry, it was really hard. I mean, you really needed to wait till there was some moisture in order to get
those
out.
Those plants, those weeds were looking for water, and they went deep to get it.
Right.
Makes it hard to get them out.
Well, and that's the beauty of, you know, when we had Roy on from Landscape Alternatives, I mean, that is kind of one of the benefits for folks who are more purists and go more for those native prairie plants, because that is how they were designed. They were designed to have that deep, deep root and be able to handle those times of drought.
Yeah.
And a lot of those ones, you know, people are doing these rain gardens that were really popular for a while, and it's kind of the same thing. These certain plants, they can handle it wet or dry.
Well, speaking of rain gardens, You know, it seemed like everybody in the world was having a rain garden there for a while.
Yes, yes.
And now there's very little of that. Are they difficult to maintain?
No, I don't think so. I mean, it's just, it's the same as any. I mean, the point of the rain garden is to manage the water on your property so it stays on your property and isn't running off down the storm sewer. You know, so they're functional. But any garden, if it's not at a person's house who decides they want to maintain, I mean, weeds are going to get in there. Other things get in there. So, I mean, they're not really any different than any other garden. It's just their placement.
Yeah.
So they're collecting the runoff or the from your gutters or whatever on your property. So some of it's the placement. Sometimes there'll be more of a shallow basin. So if there is a lot of water, there's kind of a collecting area. So it might be slightly different shaped. And then just choosing plants that can handle that extra moisture when it's there, but be okay without it.
Yeah.
You know, when it's not. And maybe some of it, why we're not hearing about as much anymore, is maybe the people who wanted rain gardens have installed them. And
there they are, and there's nothing else to be done, really.
Now they're there, so.
Yep.
But, yeah, it was an interesting summer without that rain.
We usually get periodic rains, and the period was a long time in between most of the time. We didn't get much for maintenance rains at all.
No, well, it was so interesting to me because beginning of the season, we had so much rain in the spring. I don't think my plants were as have ever been as big as early as what they were. I mean, my garden looked amazing, you know, by the end of May. I mean, the stuff was huge, but then all of a sudden it was like...
the water disappeared.
You know, I've just... So, and for Ryan, you know, our vegetable garden is in the way back, and he needs to haul water back there, and it's a big space. So that was really...
hard work.
That was really challenging. So, and something's made it. And then just, we had just a lot of predators this year. I mean, we lost a bunch of chickens, and things were stealing the eggs, and then things were getting eaten in the garden. So it was just, it was kind of that way, you know, it really makes you empathize with farmers and people who do it for a living and on a bigger scale because, wow, there's life with Mother Nature. There's so many.
There's a lot of variables.
Different factors and all of that.
But, you know, I always say, and you'd probably agree with this, the biggest gamblers on earth are farmers.
Yeah, right.
And I think gardeners go right along with that, especially if you're growing a garden that you kind of depend on to harvest.
So, and I had to double check something.
Uh-oh.
My computer was giving me a hard time, and for one of my announcements today, I think we have some information here. But
maybe you'll find it, maybe you won't. You know, computers have a way of just ditching things.
No, and it's I'm not worried about that. I was just trying to get this information before the show, so I had sent a message to someone that would have the information since my computer was not cooperating. So we'll have that by the end of the show when I do some announcements. I'm just trying to see where we're at. So speaking of harvesting and gardening and things, oh, my goodness. I mean, you will run out of friends before you run out of zucchinis. But, boy, they're so good. Ryan last night made zucchini boats and just, and he had made homemade sauce from the tomatoes in the garden and the peppers and all the fresh herbs. And then, of course, we had the zucchini, and then we had some Louis. We just this summer started buying things from Louis Finer Meats.
Uh-huh.
And, oh, my goodness. And then, of course, we buy the Burnett Dairy Cheese. So it was just like you feel like you're just eating all this local good food, and it does taste good. So I hope folks, I know Amory does a really nice farmer's market, so I hope people have been getting out. I know Tessa at Wild Meadows, she's got a nice selection if people, you know, don't want to sign up for a CSA or want to have to wait till the market. She's got some folks that are growing some really nice things and providing that. So I encourage people to get in. I hear it's still kind of a mess in town. We need to really, really support these local businesses. So.
Yep. Well, you know, the nice thing about it is they knew this was coming, so they made access through their back doors easier. And while it's inconvenient, you can still get there.
And you can get there, and that's what people need to realize. So please get there, because
local businesses are what make the town it is.
We want it. And Amory's got some really nice things going on right
it
now.
Does.
I mean, there's just some really nice shops, and so I just, we want to support those people and make sure that they can, you know, get through and be there next year when we want them.
Exactly. And, you know, there's only, you know, I heard the mayor talking this morning, and it seems to me there's something like about a month of this stuff left, and the project should be completed. And they're a long way already. They've already got sidewalks down a good share of the street, sidewalks, curb and gutter. And it seems to me I heard some paving is going to start like next week or something.
Oh, good. Good.
You know, it's going to take a while because they ran into a challenge on the south end of Keller where they're putting, I want to say, it's 100,000 tons, or I mean pounds, of some fill-in where they dug down to make the base better and ran into sawdust.
Sure. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so we're getting off track.
Yeah, I know, but we're saying to people.
So I wanted to do, like, a featured plant this week.
Oh, okay.
And when I was up at in the Sawtooth Mountains, I was really noticing a lot of this large-leafed aster, which is also sometimes called a heart-leafed aster, and they're really cool. Like my, so I have a great book that I love, Canoe Country Flora, which is Plants and Trees of the North Woods and Boundary Waters, which I didn't bring with me when I was on my trip. So when I got home, of course, I had to look some things up. But yeah, one quote that he has in here, he says, "These leaves are big enough to have covered Adam." And had the canoe country been the Garden of Eden, or had the canoe country been the Garden of Eden, some say it is paradise. But they were blooming, and they have these big leaves, and then I just thought it was funny. You know me, I like to play around with these names and things. But it's also known as lumberjack toilet paper.
No kidding.
And then it says, the bottom of the leaf is rough and hairy, but it satisfies the most critical criterion, surface area.
Okay. In other words, when you're in the wild, you don't necessarily have to take a Sears catalog with you.
Exactly. Or if, you know, you get caught unawares. You know,
yeah.
But you want to make sure you're IDing your plants correctly.
Yeah.
Especially when you're using them in tender parts of the body.
Exactly.
And then, so, you know, aster. So aster is the Greek word for star.
Oh.
And it's the root of words like asteroid.
Oh.
And asterisk.
Okay.
So I thought that was interesting. And then, of course, I had to look in my language of flowers to see what the, you know, kind of like the Victorian meaning of that would have been. And it means patience.
Patience.
And I thought it was kind of interesting because you think about it, like these asters are coming now at the end of the season.
Uh-huh.
And, you right, you have to have patience to.
You do.
To wait for them. To wait for them to come.
Yeah.
So,
and patience, and patience with the changing weather.
To learn more about the asters and the meaning of the words, and you know they do have those perfect little star-shaped flowers, and so like to have fun with some of that stuff. And it's just oh my gosh, I was on Lax Lake, and the northern white cedars up there were just amazing. And like northern white cedars, when they grow along a lake, they kind of grow out.
Oh.
You know, they kind of grow out, like
hang over the water?
Yes, horizontally or whatever, and then kind of go up. So it was just absolutely gorgeous. It
yeah.
was so beautiful to see that. And the one side of the lake was more developed, and then the other side of the lake was pretty well undeveloped. So it was just this really, really pristine.
Mm.
And then I started looking into these northern white cedars, and I guess, like, there are some huge ones in Minnesota, and there's some that they think are just, like, really, really old. Like, this one that has, like, a 4-foot diameter.
Whoa.
And I'm not familiar with this. It says it's in the woods between Prairie Portage and the Basswood River. It's in the Boundary Waters.
Uh-huh.
So, which is probably how it's, like, still
around, yeah.
And able to be protected.
Yeah. It's hard to protect because development encroaches on everything as time goes on. Thank goodness they've created parks and they're not allowing development.
Right, yes. And let's hope that that
continues.
Yep.
You were talking earlier about state parks and so forth, and I got to thinking, you know, there are some really good county parks in various counties. It's really amazing.
There are some really nice county parks. And one thing I really like about county parks, too, a lot of times, like, their camping's really inexpensive.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, and all those things are important. I hope that that continues to be, because it does set some land aside and people can get out and enjoy and be in those types of
spaces. In talking to Vince Netherland, Polk County Administrator, he's telling me that they've got a group formed now. They're going to be studying trails, the existing trails in the county, and maybe adding some new ones and some areas to entice recreation to the area, which means they'll build some parks, some we already have.
Just say, I don't know, there's a lot of recreation out here already.
There is, except that none of it is how can I say, well-known.
Sure.
It's not like going to Perot State Park, but there's a county park out on the Apple River just north of Amory here that's very nice, and they just finished improving it.
Yeah, I know that park. That's a nice park.
There's
some camping, a little playground, and space by the river, and yeah, that is a really nice little park. So
what's coming up?
I want to make some reminders here so that we don't
run out of time here. Yeah.
So now's the time to stop fertilizing at least like your perennials and trees and things like that. Your annuals, of course, you can keep fertilizing those because at the end of the season they're going to be done anyway. Maybe fertilize your house plants like one more time before now and say the equinox. Because again, even though you're keeping, you know, the plants that are going to be inside, they're still going to get less light and they want to rest a little bit and slow down a little bit in the winter. And so you don't want to encourage, a lot of times that late fertilizing can lead things just to get kind of spindly. But, and then it's going to be the time too, if any house plants that are outside, start cleaning those up, start monitoring to make sure that you're not having any bugs or anything that you're going to be
bringing in.
I don't normally, some people just spray them before they bring them in. I don't do that. So I say just monitor things, kind of keep an eye on them. Or what I'll do sometimes is I bring stuff in and I have it first in my porch.
Oh, sure.
Then I distribute it around the house. And it's getting cooler at night, so it's going to be time to start watching those things and thinking about your space in the house and where those things are going to go, wind up going.
Yeah.
And then probably stop like deadheading now. Let those things, unless if there's things you don't want to seed out, like I've got these ornamental alliums that, wow, are kind of winding up everywhere, so there's some of those things. But like your coneflower and the sedum and things that you want to leave for the birds, and this is a matter of preference. Some people think that starts to look messy and they want to clean up. Fine. By all means, do what you need to do.
Yep.
I like to leave the stuff. I like that food for the birds to be out there, and I like that structure in the wintertime. So I prefer to leave my things up. And like your roses, the rose tips are beautiful late in the fall. And if you keep trimming your roses off when they're done, they're going to quit blooming eventually and you're not going to have rose tips for the fall. So this time of the year, I always like to just kind of start to leave those things go. And then the fun part too about the fall is like now is when all the things that rebloom are reblooming again. So
there you go.
It's like second season.
Yep.
Baker Orchard is going to be open this year on Saturdays and Sundays at the orchard. They're not doing the drive-through. At this time, they are still planning on doing their festival, which is going to be the 25th and 26th, and that's the art festival. They're not going to have their gallery open this season, but for the festival weekend, of course, artists will be set up, you know,
sure,
on the lawn,
sure,
and in the barn. And then pumpkins, of course, Glenna Farms will be kicking in, you know, usually the end of September is when they start having the pumpkin patch open.
Yep.
And then Z Orchard, too, of course, is right in town, and he does a great job. I went by the other day, and they were out in their bee suits doing the bee keeping. That's just so cool.
Yeah, I know.
And all the high, you know, they had pulled the, I don't know what they're called, but pulled the little racks out or whatever, and they were out, and you could just see all the bees. And,
yeah.
And then what I was trying to find, which I did get notice here, which the information I wanted, so bear with me while I peek here. So the Abrahamsons is doing their fall container planting.
Okay.
And which is always such a great deal. I mean, they provide you with the soil, the pot. You know, you, I think you get to pick out, say, 7 plants or whatever, and you get to choose from all the awesome stuff that they have. So they're doing those workshops on September 18th, which is a Saturday, and there are a few spots available still. So you can pre-register by sending an email or calling the stores, and then they have information on the Facebook events page. But I'm sure if you just call, there'd be more than happy to help you out. So that, and they are, I'm going to try to get back to where the time was here. So they're doing it at both the Scandia and the St. Croix Fall store. So the St. Croix store will have one offered, and they're doing it at 10 and 1.
Okay.
And let me go and see if I have the phone number for people handy. If not,